Exactly.
Okay, so we're up to Perichov Bet. Pasuk Yud Aleph in Yud Bet now. Here comes a big change. The big change is what? We've talked about how Avram Avinu and Yitzchak, each one have their own test. What? Yud Aleph in Yud Bet. Okay. Chavbet, pasuk yud aleph, yud bet. Okay. So.
Angel.
Everyone's in or no?
Yeah.
So we have at this point a big change in the story. What happens? Vayikra ilav malach Hashem min haShemayim. Vayomer Abraham, Abraham, Vayomer Hine. Vayomer al tishlach yadecha nar v'al taslo me'uma. Ki ata yadati ki yirei elokim ata, v'lo chasach let bincha et yichidecha k'mimeni. So here's a big point. What are the major questions here? Right?
Why
an angel, not God? Till now it's all been God. Now all of a sudden, why the angel? Right?
No, basically you said there was a judgment that said the relationship at this point.
Why the double language?
Rashi says this repetition expresses love.
Good. Hashem chiba. Okay. Vayomer hineni. Okay. Not everybody says it's lashon chiba. Lashon chiba. Other mepharshim say it's lashon chiba. So quickly. Why does he have to say quickly? You remember that? You know when.
Wait. What do you mean? What's the question?
Why the double Avraham? Why not just say Vayomer Avraham?
What's that got to do?
Urgency, like Avram,
Avram,
do
right. Shiver,
yeah.
Right, that. Before you know it, ah! Yeah. Right? That's to say it in a very academic way. Right? Hey, Avram, Avram, wait! Right, that's basically a certain desperation. And he answers by Umar, he means, okay, now, Shalom! Ruchim Abayim. How's it going? One thumb up. Thank you. Now, the.
Is there a problem thing here?
Okay, but we had said why specifically the Malach and not Hashem. That's one of the questions we were going to ask.
How is it possible that the word of the Malach trumps the word?
Good question. And why?
What if it's coming from God? It's not.
What is a Malach Hashem and Hashem?
Fine, but Hashem.
There's a clear. Till now, it's been straight from Hashem, and now.
Insulting,
right. There's two types of questions. Number one is why the change. Number two is why does that trump? Which is an interesting question. Also, why does that trump the original command?
Because Hashem can't go back on his word. I don't know.
Okay.
The angel can't.
Right.
If
the first one's from Hashem, the only thing.
No, so that's the ending question. That's what I read. That's one question. Why the two? Why the two questions? This was why the angel and Hashem.
No, because what she's saying is, even if you want to say for whatever reason that there is a certain necessity for the angel to come.
I don't understand that question because, like, who would have sent the angel if it wasn't God? Like, why else? What other purpose would it have? Like,
but how can the word of, if an angel came down now and said, "Don't keep Shabbat," how is that? How can what an angel says trump the word of God in the Torah?
But right. God hasn't. It's not like God has just come down, said something, and then the angel said something different. It's like
He did, but God just came down.
No, but it wasn't like that. He didn't come down. Like, he doesn't have the knife in his hand, and God comes down, and says kill him, and the angel says no, don't kill him. It's like that was the whole thing, and now
the angel
is
that he was supposed to kill him, and now an angel is saying don't kill him.
But I think Abraham had intellect. Like when he saw it, he heard the angel, he knew it was God.
Exactly, and it doesn't. And
the word of God.
But he speaks, because he speaks like the angel speaks, like it's God.
Okay.
Because it says like but now I know that you are God, fearing man. Since you have not withheld your son, your only one, from me, so he's saying like that, that's clearly God speaking through an angel.
Okay, so let's continue trying to figure out. Within the good discussions, you'll see that, for example, Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch asked this question.
Wait, we have no other questions from those two.
No, that's one pasuk. Okay, that's fair. If you look at pasuk Yibet, one of the questions that you want to ask there, it says, "Vayomer al tishlach yadcha anar, v'al tas lo me'uma, ki ata yadati ki re'el kim ata v'lo chasach b'smincha z'yichchina minen." What's the obvious question here? You tell me, Al Tishlach Yad Chalanar, do not send your hand to the lad. Al Taslo Ma'uma. So, what's the question on those two things, please?
What Pasuk?
Pasuk Yibet.
It says, since you have not withheld your son from me, what is
Before that, even before that.
Why is it saying for now or what?
No, why the double language?
Where's the double language?
Number one.
Don't stretch out your hand and don't.
Don't do anything.
Yeah.
Why do you need both? See that now? Tomorrow?
Oh, because putting your hand out is just like actually doing the act.
That's interesting.
Like, you know what, a rasha, even if you're afraid to smack someone?
That's good. Very nice.
Wait, what? Really?
That's in Shemot when we see about rasha lama taked riach. Right? The question is, that's what all the midrashim we're going to deal with. What is this,
also,
what is this double
language? Be saying, like, to stretch out your hand as if saying, like, sacrifice him, not do anything to him for now, it's like, don't move him, like, don't unbind him.
Maybe.
There may be something.
What you're asking is, what you're saying is, what's the double language? What is it adding by saying, Tasla Meuma? For example, the Radak, in his classical way, would say it's Kefil Inyan B'milim Shana, which basically, it's just a double warning.
Yeah.
Just a double warning, but the it's just because of how serious it is, he says, really don't do this. Right? That's how that's in the Radak we're learning. But not everybody.
Maybe like he was so close to killing him that if you said don't do anything, it's like not as clear as don't stretch out your hand. Like it's you wanna say the first thing. You wanna like say it as quick
stop
as possible.
Stop from doing it. Yeah, so you have the knife in your hands, like don't stretch out your hand and then don't do anything.
You wanna be even more specific.
Huh?
I mean you wanna say it's even one is more general, one is more specific.
So just to stop from killing him before you could say not to kill him.
Okay, so, and then what does it say? Ataya dati, ki rei Elokim ata, v'lo chasachtes bincha, si chidecha mimeni. What does that mean? Okay, so we have to figure out what that means. Why now? What is it saying?
Basically,
why is it hypocritical?
Because it said in the beginning, give your only son the one blah 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 for me, and now it's saying withhold yourself from killing your son, the only one for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I mean, you know, hold up a second.
Wait, what?
He said, Hashem said, basically, kill your son, your only son, for me.
Yeah.
And now he's saying, don't kill your only son, the son.
No, but it doesn't say that.
What does it say?
No, it says, since you have not withheld your son. Because in, like, you were happy here, it doesn't say now, don't, like, it doesn't use the words, like, don't withhold your, like, your only son from me, it's saying you were happy to.
Oh.
Like, it's not saying, now save your only son, like, the words I want to say.
No,
it's
I got you, I got you.
Okay. So let's now answer both of these questions. Rav Shimshon or Father Hirsch?
Wait, what's the second question?
Angel and not Hashem? The angel says Avram twice, and why the double angel to stretch out your hand?
And the fourth question is, what is this the concept of right now that you're a Yirei Elokim? We know Avram's known as Avram or Avi. And what's the significance of now Ki Yirei Elokim Atar V'lo Chasach Esmincha Esichidicha Mimeni? You'll see some very unique interpretations about what this pasuk is referring to.
Right, so it's just the question. It's like, what's the pasuk?
What's it coming to teach me here? Okay. So we started dealing with Avram. Avram part. Let's talk about the and Again, what's the emphasis? Malach Hashem min ha-shamayim. Right? Where else is Malach Hashem from? Right? So the Radak asked that question. It says, Komar Shama
HaKol. Well, the angel can come in
Could be.
It doesn't have to come from the sky.
Or why the emphasis?
Was it the same Malach that fought with him?
The Radak says he heard a call, but he didn't see anything.
Wait,
what
do you mean?
Who's
in this? The Radak says. He heard something, but he didn't see anything.
Like a bat call?
Right, same type of idea. Okay.
I was on his head, but why does that have to do with the sky?
Oh, so meaning it's Min HaShamayim, that he heard it, but he didn't see anything. Of Hirsch, says earlier on, Avram said Hinini right after he called his name, the first time. Here, Avram only after the second time. Why? Because he was so ingrained in fulfilling the Ratzon of the Gevura, he didn't want to hear anything else.
Wait, what?
Again, the first time when we had said, if you look at the Pasuk Aleph, selective
hearing.
Right, selective hearing because he's so in his zone.
Yeah, but is it when someone says to you, like, calls your name twice, like, can't say it in between, like, say it so fast? Like, how do you
That's one way of saying it, or you say, Avram!
Yeah, but it doesn't look Abraham. Like that from the way it's written.
Are you sure? Is there a break in between? Is there a break in between?
No.
So that's the question, meaning whether it's Lashon Chibah or it's Lashon Chipazon. That might be a nafkamina again. Between what
like
Shem Shabbat Farage is saying.
Like the conversations or whatever where it said, and he said, blah, blah, blah.
Right,
this
back to the
just like
terms.
In the same quotation marks,
mm-hmm.
One right after the other, there's nothing in between it. It's kind of hard to do it. Then there's also nothing in between, like the Abra and Abraham and him responding.
What's the
like,
line?
It couldn't have made such a big difference.
Where's the line mean? Where's the line?
The line is between the two
of exactly what I answered Tamar, that she didn't want to hear me.
What line?
There's a line between Avram and Avram, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have that over there?
Yeah.
So that's where, as opposed to, I think it's Moshe, the only one that doesn't have a line in between. Okay, it's saying that Avram, right? Moshe doesn't have it. This is one of the three names. There's actually that line in between, which would answer much more of the Lashon Chiba, which would actually be a good support for Ashar Hirsch. To say that Avram only answered after the second time because he was so ingrained in fulfilling the Ratzon of Hashem, he didn't want to hear anything else. He's in his own. And Rav Shimshon Rafal Harshit continues and says, "Shema yish mashmuut b'davar, shehashem shalach kriya zu bidei malach, ba'od shebechol chayei Abraham, diber ito Hashem ba'atzmo." But now it was enough to send the malach to stop the mission. Why is that? Gam bekach mirumatz, Rav Shimshon Rafal Harshit here says, within
this. Was there no other commentary on the Abraham?
What?
Was there no other commentary on that?
There is a deeper meaning. They'd say that there's some sort of the concept of Avram, there's no real, you're very, very close to connecting the Avram Shamayim and the Avram, right? What are these two Avrams?
So
we had said either, right? We had said either was said, Lashon Chiba. Lashon Chibazon, or it could be again that you were so close.
Chibaz
to,
love.
What?
Love.
Chibaz love. Beloved Chibazon is said in such haste because you don't want the Avram to go and Shachtum.
So who said those two ideas?
The different Mepharshim here. One was Rashi from the Midrashim. The other one was, if I'm not mistaken, the Radak. Who said, right. That was Radak, and also Chizkuni, that says, okay. It said Bechipazon.
According to Rav Shimshon Hirsch, wouldn't it be like saying disrespectful, like why does God have to call you twice? Okay, yeah, he's doing the mitzvah, but if God or an angel says Avram, you listen immediately, you don't continue what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. On one level. That's on one level, on no level. Specifically,
so
what he's saying, he's so into it, and it's not even God himself, it's only a malach.
Right?
It could be, specifically, till now he's so used to having Hashem. Now all of a sudden it's enough to have the shlichus of a malach.
Right.
So Rav Shimshon Rafal Harshit wants to say, Gam bekach l'rumas kol emek hal batim. All the vacillations and the sveikot that he has. Sh'avram hitnaseh behem. Because ilu hayazeh malach she'evilo et dvar ha-mitzvah. Right? If the malach would have been at the beginning and said, Helad bin Chalolah, you wouldn't have believed him. Because it would have been such a clear paradox to everything that he's had till now. Right? But for the bitul of mitzvah akedah, that was enough for the shlichut of malach. Meaning it comes back to what we had talked about for the midrashim. And here Rashi even talks about it also. Right? Which is it so clear, like what we're so used to, when we hear about Akedat Yitzchak, that it must be tough for Avram, but it's so clear in his head, this is the Ratzon Hashem. He might have struggled with it, but this is it. It's clear, this is the way I should be doing it. It's very hard, but right before learning, like we've learned now, we think his love for Hashem transcends all. He's able to beat any type of Yitzhara, and he's ready to sacrifice his son. But we've explained till now, from different interpretations, it might be very much that he's struggling the whole time. Now, his gevura is that even with the struggle on a theological level, on an educational level, on a filial level, is it really the word of Hashem? He's still willing to do it. He's willing to do it. But because of that struggle, once the malach comes, says Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, to do it, to say, don't do it now, right? For the levatel mitzvah ta'akeidah, it's enough to have a malach. Okay?
Are you saying because it's such something that would affect him so much, that it's something so simple?
Not affect so much. Because it's something so, the whole thing is so antithetical to everything that who he is as a person, as a theologian, as a father, right?
So with everything, because it's so,
it's so against everything that he believed in. Therefore, so on one level, the only way he would have gone up is if it's Tzivoy Hashem. At the same time, paradoxically, it's not like we thought that he's Avram HaKadosh and he has no Sveikot at all and he's not at all, struggling with this whole piece. We've talked about how it's the third day and we've talked about whether it's Vayachar or Thremayel, maybe it's the Dvaro Shel Satan, maybe it's not the Dvaro Shel Hashem. At the same time, he's such gevura. Why? Because he's still willing to do it, because he's not going to listen to all those tzveikos, because he says, this is what Hashem wants.
Yeah.
But because of all those tzveikos, all we need is a shliach, a malach, to come to say, this is not really it. This is not really what we're supposed to be. You must stop.
The thing is though...
I get what you're saying, but it's not like the angel said anything specific that reminded him of all
those things. Not reminded him. It was enough at this point, according to Rav Shimshon Rafal says, to tell us within all the Sveikos, it's a Malach Hashem in HaShemayim. That's enough to say, with all those Sveikos, it must be that this is not the way that the Ratzon of Hashem wanted. Right? Till now, it's a peak. He was willing to go, even despite all the Sveikos. He was willing to go and do it.
Yeah.
He was in a zone. Yeah. But... then you had a malach, Hashem said, this is not the way, this is not what Hashem wants, you have to stop, even though you've gone through this whole process.
I still don't get why the angel and Hashem, Hashem would have done
it. It's the contrast from he would not have gone up, and all of the sveiko wouldn't even start, his whole test, and everything he went through would not have even begun if the malach first came. First, there's no way he would have gone up.
I get that.
So
that's
exactly
sense.
The point.
No,
so that's the contrast. That's the stark contrast. I was talking about Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, so I actually thought it was pretty cool. Right? That really brought everything together that we've said.
I like Hashem would have done the same job. There's no
purpose. Is that necessary at that point, according to what he's saying?
Because you don't understand,
This is what he says. Listen to the last language.
You absolutely have to.
Exactly. L'shem kach, I'll read you his last line. Lo haya tzarich b'hitgalut yotzeit min haklal. I don't need something super, as much as in a malach min Hashem, it's not so normal. This is something that fits into Avram's life as it is.
But didn't he already have a malach that was telling him, there's a midrash, there's a malach who was telling him all the way through until the entire thing that, don't kill your son, this is your only son, blah, 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 right? There was a midrash on that.
That was what? Say again?
There was the satan or whatever. He said, right? So if he hears that in the beginning, and then he hears Malach from Hashem say, don't kill your son, wouldn't he just assume it's the same person just trying to stop him doing a mitzvah? Same Malach, did you say?
First of all, it's a good question. Why all of a sudden did he know that this is not that way?
I mean...
Uh, that's a good question. And maybe again that comes back to that's the next part of the pasuk, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Al tishlach yadcha al na'ar. Maybe he's not 100% convinced. And therefore, what does he need? He needs more convincing, and that's the double language.
The fact that he hesitated to show that he already believed it in the first place.
Or he's within all the sfeikot. It's something that his whole concept is difficult. Right? This whole commandment is again antithetical to his whole existence. Okay. The Rav Kook has a different pshat here. Rav Kook says, "Vayikra ila malach Hashem min hashamayim." One could say this is the end of the process. Avram has gotten to the height where he said he's ready to shecht Yitzchak, and now we got to finish the story and say not to do it. Right? So why does it come to the Malach? Because we've already reached the height of Yitzchak. That's one way Rav Kook says, maybe, that one would say. Rav Kook doesn't like this. Rav Kook says that the Malach is not the end of the story, like let's say Rav Shimshon Rav Falmerich says. But Dafka, there's a next step in the test. Okay, it's Dafka, as we had said, it's Malach min Hashamayim. Right? On one level, it's Malach min Hashamayim. And then again, if that's true, it shouldn't be at all within this world. But somehow Rav Kook wants to say that again, the Akedah is not something that's not in this world. Right? But it's specifically something that's spiritual that has to have real practical ramifications in this world. That's what we're going to explain right now. So if that's true, why are we bringing up the Malach now? So the Malach comes as its name, as a Shaliach, to fulfill the Ratzon of Hashem. Okay? And what does he say? He says that, just to read it a little bit there. What he says, בחזון הראשון של דבר השם, להעלות את בנו לעולה, לא היה יכול שום מלאך להשתתף. The beginning had to be from God. That everything had to be from God. It's only the Malach. He's not at all involved in that. Okay? At that point, at the beginning, there's no difference between Avram and the Malach. It's got to come a tzivoy straight from Hashem.
Wait, what?
There's no difference from the beginning point. It's only Dvar Hashem that can bring Avram to this point. Similar to what Rav Shimshon Rav Falmerich said. Right? Any nivuah, like Eliyahu, right?
Eliyahu.
It's only been a year. Eliyahu. Kol nivuah shebal yidei malach. As great as it is, it's still limited. Therefore, similar to Rav Shimshon Farhar said, the first kriya had to be specifically to Hashem. Ani v'lo malach, ani hu v'lo acher, as we say in Haggadah Shal Pesach. However, it doesn't end with that high. As we had said, what do we need? It has to come and teach us in this world. So what did Malach say? Comes the Malach, right? Which is what? To say that even that what? That Avram Avinu reached a level that even Malach couldn't get to. To be able, in this world, Malach is a shlichus on a high level. You're confused? I'm going to try to explain
Just really quick. If he was on a higher level than a Malach, why was the Malach supposed to say that to him when Hashem should have been the one doing the saying?
Well, that's what he said at the beginning. Yeah. That's exactly what he's saying.
No, he's saying that they were at an even level of Avram and the Malach. So then, why would he listen to the Malach? Because technically speaking, the Malach was lower than him in a spiritual level.
Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
So that's why he said.
That's exactly the point. Point number one is, since the Malach is what? As much as Malach is min ha-shamayim, the beginning, he wasn't good enough. The only way that Avram would get to this point of being able to bring la'alot et bno lo yachol shum malach, as shmini as he is, it has to be from God. But at the same time, now comes the point that what? As much as the malach is somewhat to this world and has what? Has to teach us a lesson for Avram this world, you have to know that he's coming, in this case, min ha-shamayim. Right? It's a certain paradox. On one level, as we know, it had to come. The only way this whole story could happen is it came straight from Hashem. Correct?
Yeah.
But now what happens? As opposed to we thought that the story is now over. No. He's saying that what? Somehow through this Amirah, which was min ha-shamayim, somehow this has to what? This is going to teach us within this world. And as much as the Malach is min ha-shamayim, we have to be able to learn within this world something about what is the Mesir Nefesh within this world. Which is what? Vayomer. This is what the Malach, who's so shmimi, but through this we're going to continue within the Mesir Nefesh to understand Avraham. And what is that Mesir Nefesh? What is that message? That's the next pasuk. And there are different ways to understand this next pasuk. Meaning it's specifically, again, both the Mepharshim are saying we need to contrast that this whole story would only happen if first it came from not Malach min HaShamayim. That's not good enough. Because even a Malach min HaShamayim is limited at some level. Right? Even a Malach min HaShamayim is still not HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzmo. That's one contrast. At the same time, as opposed to what we had said, is that, okay, the Malach came, you know, close up shop, we now just have to finish up the story. We all know that the end comes. No. Rav Kook says, as he's done the whole time, that we keep going up. And we have to understand that as much as he's min ha-shamayim, right, his message is for, as the whole Akedah was what? Was for this world. It's not just something that was, woo. This whole concept of Akedah is not for us to be able to take with us. And what's that message? He says, Avram, al tishlach yadcha anar, the al tas lo me'uma, ki ata yadati, ki yirei al kimata v'lo chasach tasmincha as yichidecha mimen. So first, all the Mepharshim from the Midrashim ask, what's this double language of al tishlach yadcha anar v'al tas lo me'uma? So most of the Mepharshim all answer what they say. Don't. Number one, al tishlach yadcha anar, don't check your son. And don't even try to do something small. A little bit. What did he want to do? Make a small sarita. Do something. Right? Let me do something, says Avram Avinu. Right? To read you the different Mepharshim Rashi quotes this also. Right? To read the Midrashim, I'll just tell you a quote where, for example, Rashi says, Al tishlach lishchot. Amloim came. What is everything I've done till now? L'chinam bati l'kan. What am I doing here? Let me make a small chabalah and have a little dam, and then I'll be some sort of what? Some sort of korban, somewhat. He says, no, don't do anything, don't make any move. Nothing. Ki ataya dati. Right? Ki ereya lo kimata. Right? Which in itself is difficult. What does it mean, ki ataya dati? So first I want to tell you what the Sforno says, because we've seen the Sforno at the beginning, and I told you I wanted to show you what the Sforno says at the end also. If you remember, the Sforno had said, what's the whole purpose of the Nisayon? We're bringing it. The Sforno at the beginning had said that what? The whole purpose of the test, that Elokim Nisas Abraham.
Right.
Remember what the Sforno had said? The Sforno had said
that he's known the whole time that he wasn't gonna.
The Sforno had said that the whole purpose of the test was for him not just to get from potential to actual, to get rewarded for the good action, But what's the purpose? Remember what the sword note said? The sword note said the whole purpose of a test. And he said this is the whole purpose of creation. Is to what? To take what's from your actual, from your potential, excuse me, and make it into actual in order to lidamot libore. In order to become, right, to imitate God. Elevate yourself to imitate God, and that's the whole kavanah of the mitziyut, is what the Sforno had said earlier on. Why? Because na'atse adam kidmutenu. Why is it kidmutenu? Because like God, who is absolutely his bechira is good, we have bechira chofshit, and therefore we have to, as much as possible through our choices, become like that God. So, a second, if you look at the Sforno, and I'll take your question, the Sforno, this pasuk is an unbelievable piece, and it connects with what Rav Kook had said. The Sforno says, Atah yadati, yadati, ani, who's talking? The Malach's talking. Shebadin yadilcha el malachav. Now I know that as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the Tzadikim are even greater than Malachi Asharet. Mimeni, what does it mean? Atah yadati, kirei elokim atav elokhasach, zvicha incha mimeni. So a lot of, meaning the simple pshat is that what? Now I know that you're what? That you are a God-fearing Jew. Oh, and you didn't hold back your son.
The meaning of it, not the double man.
Correct. That you didn't what? That you didn't hold back your son, your only son, from me. Me many. That you didn't hold it back from me. Says the Sforno, that's not the pshat. The pshat is that now I know that what? That you are a greater Yarei Elohim more than me.
Who?
The angel. Shani Malach. V'ra'ui l'mali yoter mimeni. I'm a Malach, but you're even greater than me. As we just said, Gidolim Tzadikim. She'ata b'fo'al. With your actions, you're Yarei Elohim. K'mo sha'el yoder kodem lachim. Sha'ita Yarei Elohim b'koach. V'tipol yediato ha'po'elat ala nimsav b'fo'al. Right? Now I know that through your actions, through your willingness, number one, to sacrifice, but even more so to hold back. I now know that you're a Yerushalayim. And even greater than me. Doesn't mean as what we thought. But the simple pshat here is what?
But that makes sense, because the angel doesn't even have potential to...
Correct. That's why it's a beautiful pshat. That's why it's a beautiful pshat. Even though, again, the simple pshat is, now I know that you're a real king, because you held back your son from me, and you didn't ask any questions. Like the Midrashim said, you didn't ask, right? Shouldn't I bring this? Shouldn't I bring my Yitzchak as a korban? Whatever type of questions you might ask there. That is what the Sforno says here.
It wasn't for the angels. Get it? If it's not God's words, if it's coming from an angel, that's not a God level.
Right, that was Eliyahu's question. How can the Malach, who's on a lower level, do this?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
What is your question?
I'm saying, from what the Sforno said, that the angel's explaining to Abraham that he's like at a higher spiritual level than the angel is.
Correct.
But that doesn't make sense because it's not like the actual wording in it. Where he ends up saying, from me, like that's clearly like what God is saying, like that's God's words. Because Abraham didn't give his son for the angel, he gave his son to God.
Right, that's what I said the simple shot is that angel is saying the words of God and saying, now I know that you didn't hold back, right? That was a simple shot. The Sforno, within his whole Shita, is saying, we see that how Avram reached that pinnacle level. The Malbim here says another piece. The Malbim here says, here is the main test for Avram. On this pasuk, if you didn't read this pasuk with the Malbim, you're in big trouble. The Malbim says, "Vayomer al tisha achya b'chal anar." Perish Chazal. You see why I like Akira Yitzchak? You see why I like doing this? This is like so meaty. It's so meaty. There's so much like different levels of philosophy and pshat to understand what's really going on here. Okay, maybe I'll not get as much as I do. Perish Chazal. Sheratza al koponim. No, Rabbi, I do. Sheratza al koponim lasot bo izer roshim chabala, like we said. Therefore, what does he say? Altas lo me'uma. Look what he says. Ki ata yadati. After now I know that you have finished the tachlit mitzvah, and everybody know that you'll be a yarei Elokim. V'gama ma'aseh atzma shelo chasach le pincha. We will view it as if you've already brought him as a korban. Explains the Malbim. Ikar nisayon haya. This we've seen already with certain perushim. Or are you going to do this l'shem Hashem? Bilvad. Without any ta'arovet, ezeh pniyah v'kavanah zara. The question is he going to do what? Is he going to do this ma'aseh l'shem Hashem without any type of foreign or personal liking, personal kavanot, personal feelings? Now, says the Malbim, there are two mitzvot here. Or the two mitzvot. Number one is to bring him up. To bring him up is an olah. To be mekayim mitzvah Hashem. Okay, understood. What's the second mitzvah now? Al tishlach yadecha. You need a pencil?
Yeah.
Ready to catch? Oh, I guess not. Oh, you have to pick that up.
Yeah.
Now, al tishlach yadecha. What's the second mitzvah? Al tishlach yadecha. Says the Malbim, that which is mekayim the first mitzvah without any type of personal nitiyah, that's not a chiddush. Because what would he hope for himself by bringing his only son there? For sure he only did that l'shem shamayim. But the second mitzvah, that it was commanded to bring him down, says the Malbim, that was very hard. That he should only do that l'shem Hashem. Can you imagine? All he could see is what he's going to get. He's getting back his son. He's getting back his son.
So how could you possibly do that?
What do you mean, how could he possibly do that? How could he possibly only think about it, l'shem Hashem, and
that's
not?
What you say.
That's his question.
But it's not possible.
He's saying it is.
Wait.
That the idea is that what?
Like if he would have got to sacrifice, that he would have had that feeling that he was able to.
That he's doing l'shem Hashem. But now,
no.
You're missing it. Now that he's saying, calm down.
Right.
What would a normal father have? Son, he's back!
Oh, but he still wants
his own personal Abba. But Hashem knew that just like he did the first mitzvah, l'shem Hashem, so too the second mitzvah. He wasn't happy just for himself that he saved his only bincha yichidcha. But again, he was samech, he was his mekayim, the mitzvah haboro. Okay? And what's the proof? What's the proof that he wanted to do it? What's the proof? What? That's also true. But also that, what do you want? Al taslo me'uma. Let me do something. He says, no. Ki ata. Now from the second mitzvah and onwards, I now know Yireel kim ata kilos chasachta. Right? That you didn't have any type of external, ulterior motive for doing this. But rather, you did it because mimeni.
Wait, Tamara said.
I don't know if it's not okay, but the ultimate test here for Avram was to do it, l'shem Hashem. Not for himself. Both bringing it up and the stopping. Both. He says there are two mitzvahs. One to bring him up, la'alot et ha'olah, so he says that's not a big chiddush. Why else would he, you know, he doesn't want to sacrifice his son. The chiddush is the second time, when the malach says, bring him down. And there, what does he do? Is he doing it because he's so happy to get his son back? Or is he doing it because he wants to fulfill the Ratzon of Hashem? And the answer is he wants to do it because he wants to fulfill the Ratzon of Hashem. What's the proof? He's got to tell him, Atasol Me'uma. Right? He's got to tell him, no, don't do it! Meaning, if it was just for his own son, of course, if it was only for his son, of course he wouldn't do anything. Okay? This is the unbelievable pshat of the Malbim.
You know...
Yes...
A lot
easier. Like what? I'd like to do, before I hear your question now, I'm going to do one more class on this, and that's it. We're going to finish it up, please God, next time.
Wait, time's over?
Just about. Okay, we'll try as much as we can to try to finish it up next time. Because I have enough material definitely for more than one class, but we'll try to finish it up now into one more class.
Isn't there a midrash that says that because he was crying to God to stop him. How can that happen if the mom was screaming at Abram saying, like, don't kill your son?
You never screamed at a car at the same time?
Here you go.
What? I'm on a cat. Don't worry about
it. No, it's usually really difficult. Or is that just me?
No, everyone screams.
Everyone screams.
I scream.
I don't know what happens in Minnesota.
Minnesota.
I don't know what's going on in Minnesota.
Whenever I scream, I cry at the same time. That's a cry baby.
Well, think of a little kid and you're angry.
No, think of a little kid. You know what they go, and then they're like silent for those 5 seconds, and then they like scream. Like they're trying to catch their breath. And they scream and they cry.
I scream at them, they hurt me and angry me.